from the Hail State Plus Podcast Network. This is Dear Ole State. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Coleman and Logan Lowry.
Hail State, everybody. Welcome in to Dear Ole State. I'm Mississippi State senior writer Joel Coleman, right back alongside my communications tag team partner Logan Lowry, and we've got a special edition of the show today as we look back on the 1998 Western Division champion Mississippi State Bulldogs, and who better to do that than the head coach himself. We've got Jackie Sherrill on the line with us today. Coach Sherrill, first off, how you doing, and where are you at, and what you been up to, man?
Well, thank you very much. Doing very well, other than I've got to get a hip replaced in January, and so I just have to deal with it until I get in and let them give me a new hip. But everything else is going fine. And what I'm doing today is I'm in the stem cell world, where I take former players that have issues, ORA, also other issues from ALS to Parkinson's to autoimmune polyomyalgia to possible CTE and dementia. So it's been really rewarding because all the players that I've been able to work with have improved. And all the people, friends that I've been able to help also have improved.
Well, Coach, when you first heard that they were going to honor the 98 team and wear those special uniforms and bring back the logo that you guys wore during that time period, how special was that for you to kind of reminisce and see that that team was going to be honored?
Well, extremely, because, you know, sometimes during the present time, meaning in 98, we really kind of forget, you know, what kind of team or how successful, and that could go for basketball, baseball. But years later, we understand what they did wasn't easy. And you know, the only team that, our Mississippi State team that has won a championship when they have gone into the SEC and had to the two divisions, but there were some very outstanding players on that football team that really went on and had a great career in the next level. And, you know, there's one player, if he had been a little bigger, he would have lasted a long time in the NFL, and that was Kevin Prentice.
A lot of special guys on that team, Coach, and we'll probably hit on a few of them over the course of this. But when you look at that 98 team and what you guys were able to accomplish, how much of it would you attribute to the way 1997 ended? That year was such a special year. I think we were 7-2 and then had a couple losses there towards the end that kind of, I guess, left a sour taste in our mouths a little bit. But did the way 97 ended kind of maybe stoke the flames a little bit for what ended up happening in 98?
Well, I think it did, certainly with the players. Because, you know, when you look back in retrospect and even as a coach, you look back and said, well, if I had done a better job, we would have won some more games. You know, it kind of reminds me of the 98 season playing in Kentucky. You know, I made decisions to go for two early in the game, which it ended up costing us the game, because if I'd gone for one, then we would have ended up either tied or won the game at the end.
Yeah, looking at that, going into the 98 season, you look at what all you had coming back on that team, and did you just have a really good feeling about this team that they could really do something special that season?
Well, you had a lot of players that had played a lot of football, and that's really important. And we were able to have players, you know, like J.J. Johnson, for example. If J.J. had spent 4 years at Mississippi State, J.J. would have been the all-time favorite player because of how productive and and the way he conducted his business, and the players, not only the players, but the fans loved J.J. Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to spend 4 years here because he was my favorite player after only 1 year, especially the game that he had against Alabama. But coming back for that last year, like you said, he was my favorite guy on that team. When you have a workhorse running back like that, just how special and talented of a guy was he?
Well, you know, not only size, strength, but the ability to get through a hole, but the ability to run through tackles. You know, he was, you know, at our level, in our time, if there's one player for size-wise and the speed-wise, he kind of remembered, you know, you look back at O.J. Simpson when he was at Southern Cal, because of his speed, strength, and, you know, his ability to do things on the field.
You look, too, at this team, Coach, and I can't help but think about how this team was able to accomplish so many special things, and you had a freshman there under quarterback with Wayne Matkin. Just, can you speak to Wayne and just the role he was able to play on this team and guiding it to so much success, even as a youngster?
Well, you know, we had Wayne Matkin, we had Matt Wyatt, and we had Rob Morgan. They all three played a role in that season. But Wayne, you know, was very productive. You know, he had 1,532 yards, which out of 199 passes and 11 TDs. So if you really look at his production and how he managed, was excellent. And, you know, there was some games, some exciting games that you played in. And one was Arkansas, where it came down to the end, and you know, Wayne made some big throws, and, you know, there also, you know, our receivers stepped up and made some big plays as well.
Yeah, I can't think about those teams without just remembering just that massive offensive line that you guys had, just an enormous group of guys out there. And you heard those ESPN broadcasts. I know you didn't get to see them. You might have saw the replay, but they would always talk about, you know, they're bigger than the NFL offensive lines and how many buffets they got kicked out of in here in Starkville. But, you know, guys like Randy Thomas and Porkchop, Eric Allen, Anthony Catt, Wes Shivers. I know I'm missing some guys in there too, Coach, but what do you remember? Why? What were you feeding those guys?
Well, you know, we going back and looking at in the recruitment of those players, you know, first time I saw Porkchop, I mean, I was kind of wide-eyed. But what I remember about Porkchop is how quick his feet were and how light he was on his feet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, digging down into his life, his dad was a professional boxer, and he started Porkchop at a very early age, like 3 or 4, jumping rope, and which, you know, made his or gave him the ability to have really great balance and quick feet. And he played a long time in the NFL. But you had Randy Thomas, Anthony Capp, you had Wes Shivers. So you had some players that not only had size, but they also had some toughness to it.
Logan wants to talk offense. Coach, I got to talk defense a little bit with you. Of course, what Bulldog fan doesn't love talking about Joe Lee Dunn and that the defense that he was able to coordinate here at Mississippi State? But that 98 defense was something special, too, and it started off, you know, you guys shut out Vanderbilt, I believe, to open the year. You later shut out South Carolina. I think you held Bama to under 14 points, held Mississippi 6 points there at the end of the year, Coach, and just such great defense played throughout the year. Why was Coach Dunn, why was he so successful? And just talk about some of the guys on that defense and guys that here we sit, you know, a quarter century later and we still remember so highly.
Well, Joe Lee, there's two types of coaches when you really look. Are they technique coaches, old school, or are they schemers? And which means they're going to put players in different positions sometimes that There was a couple of games that we started that the whole defensive line stood up a yard off the ball, and which no one had seen that as far as the opposing teams. But what Joe Lee had, he had a tremendous memory. He could tell you plays that a team ran 5 years ago in their blocking schemes. So he spent all of his times on the blocking schemes of our opponents in being able to figure out ways where we could put one more man than they had to protect. And the ability for him to do that, and the players that we had, because they all could run. You know, the defensive linemen, even though they were good size, but you're talking about Alvin McKinley, you're talking about, Schluter, those guys, and Hilliard, all those guys could run.
Yeah, thinking about those defensive teams, I mean, it seemed like y'all were just so attacking and just really went after the offense. I mean, attacked at all three levels. I mean, y'all weren't scared to blitz the dog safety or anybody else. Were you okay with him blitzing in any situation? Did you have that kind of trust in Joe Lee?
Well, when you sent guys like Ashley Cooper or Badon, Kendall Robinson, you were pretty successful in doing that because, I don't know how many times they got blocked, but that was Joe Lee's, really the ability that Joe Lee had is to put one more man either on the weak side or strong side than they had to protect. And if you had three guys on the strong side, or if you had two guys and counting the back on the weak side, he'd send four. And all of a sudden, there was one guy wide open that they couldn't pick up.
Coach, we think about this 98 team and remember it for all it accomplished, but one of the more impressive things to me about this group was, and you referenced that the loss at Kentucky earlier, and there was a bad weekend at Baton Rouge just before that, too. And the two losses there in the middle of the season, in today's age of Twitter and social media commentary and stuff, a lot of people would have written y'all off at that point probably in the year. But yet y'all were able to persevere through a little adversity there mid-season and come back better for it. What was it about this group that was able to kind of take that blow in the middle of the year and stand back up and ultimately, get to Atlanta?
Well, it was the players, what was inside of them and, what they were made of. And, you look at Cornell Menifee, or if you look at same thing with McKinley or the Robert Bean, these kids were players, and they also were very determined. And just because they had adversity, they were not going to jump off a cliff. They were going to, put their head back down and their rear ends up and start digging, and they did. And they dug themselves out of the hole that they had in midseason with LSU and Kentucky. But again, if the head coach, and I don't know who that guy was, but if the head coach had done a better job at Kentucky, we would have won that game.
Well, looking at, doing something that the school has never done before, winning the West and representing the Western Division in Atlanta for the SEC Championship against Tennessee. What was that week leading up to that game? What was that like just being in, doing something that the school has never done before?
Well, certainly the players were extremely excited, but they were playing the number one team that ended up number one team in the nation. Mm-hmm. And there's no question that Tennessee was a great football team, but they felt that they could play with them. And probably if the officials would have called a couple of pass interference, they molested Kevin Prentice. They, grabbed him, threw him on the ground, but, the game wasn't decided really until the end of the game when they threw a long touchdown pass, and you know, we go up, and we actually, if we had one more inch, we would have been able to tip the ball away. But that was Kentucky, and he went up and Robinson, excuse me, it was Kendall, and they were covered. They just jumped a higher or a little higher than Kendall could.
I got to take you back one game before that one, though, Coach. Logan and I, since we've been on this side of things now, you know, we're lifelong Bulldogs, but now being on staff here at Mississippi State, we've had the chance now to be inside victorious locker rooms in Oxford. But I can't imagine there was ever a more excited, victorious visiting locker room in Oxford than that day in 1998 when we defeated Ole Miss 28-6 and knew at that point we'd won the Western Division. What was that scene like, Coach, in the locker room in Oxford that day?
Well, there was not only enjoyment, but just tons of excitement because, you know, you work so hard every year, but then all of a sudden you're able to have success and reach, you know, your ultimate goal is to, and the SEC is a little different than most conferences. In the SEC, being able to go to the conference championship and ultimately win the championship, that is to the people in the SEC and the players, that's a big deal. All these players that have carried the national, the SEC championship ring around, they enjoy that sometimes a lot more than the national championship ring. So being able to know that you won the West and knowing that you're going and playing in Atlanta for the championship, because every gold of every team every year, now we can say Alabama puts national or Georgia, but I would say that they put the SEC championship right up with it, because if you don't win the SEC, you don't have a chance of winning the national.
Right. Well, Coach, you know, when you have a weekend coming up like y'all have, you know, with the 98 reunion and stuff, when you're a coach of a team and, you know, a lot of these guys you don't get to see very often, what is it like for you to be able to, you know, spend a few minutes visiting with your team and kind of reuniting with them?
Well, it's really comfort and to the head coaches, because you remember the day you walked into the high school or you walked into their home or the first time that they suited up for practice. And you also remember the day that they actually left school and went on to their own careers, whether it's in pro ball. And a lot of these kids had the opportunity to go into the next level. You know, we had a great tight end, Reggie Kelly, that spent time in the NFL. Justin Griffin, I mean, you can go on, you know, McKinley. J.J. Spent some time up there. And if J.J.'s ankle would have been better, he probably would have lasted longer in the NFL. But, you know, as a coach, being able to come back and see the players honored for what they accomplished is, and being part of it or having some part to do with it, is very special.
Well, Coach, we can't wait to see so many of you back around coming up on homecoming as we battle Kentucky. Can't wait to see that interlocking MSU back on the helmet. I mean, just seeing that logo, I know for folks around mine and Logan's age and probably for you all as well, to see that logo, it still brings the chill bumps up to think back on this 98 group and all the great times here at Mississippi State that you all, you know, have ingrained in our memories, us longtime Bulldogs. I guess as we wind down here, Coach, I guess I just want to, for myself and Logan, I think we speak for our fan base. Thank you for all that you helped us achieve here at Mississippi State, and hope that you all enjoy getting back together and seeing each other, and we're going to sure enjoy watching y'all and thinking back on those moments and memories. But appreciate your time today, Coach.
Thank you, and, you know, it is going to be a special time, not only for the players, for the coaches that come back, but also for the fans, because, you know, there's a lot of fans that have memories as well, and those were great times for the fans.
No doubt about it. That's Coach Jackie Sherrill. Thank him for his time. That's going to do it for today's show. From me and Logan here on the show, thank you all for joining us. Hail State.
Hail State.